Let's go ahead and take your Bibles. Let's stand. We're going to turn them over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 5. Very familiar area. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, once you get your place, if you could stand with us, that'd be a blessing. If you don't, we understand that as well. You got the Psalms, you got the Proverbs, and you have Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Very familiar area. We're just going to read it, and it's going to be a jumping verse for us, and we're going to look at some things tonight. Talk about some things here in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Any oh me's you haven't gotten there yet? All right. How many got your resolutions made already? You said we stopped making resolutions a long time ago. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3, I want you to read verse 1 with me and then skip down to verses 5 and 6 with me as well. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Then verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. We're going to stop there. Leaving 2015 and entering into 2016, we are reminded by Solomon here that there are specific times and seasons for everything. There's a time for a year to come to a close. There's a time for a year to open up. There's a time for the children to be on Christmas vacation. There's a time to go back to school. Hallelujah. There's a time for us to be off of work, and there's a time to go back to work. There's a time for everything, especially in verse number 5 and 6. Notice what he says there. He says, time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. He lets us know down there, sometimes it's time to let things go and let go of some things, and it's time other times to hold on to things. I'm going to look at a phrase that I saw here earlier in my reading, and the phrase is only found two times in the Bible, and both times it's in the Old Testament. One time it's in Job, and the other time it's in 1 Samuel. And the phrase is, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It's found two times in the Bible, both in the Old Testament. One time concerns not letting some things go. The other time concerns letting some things go. And I find it interesting that it's only listed twice in the Bible. And one time it's not letting go of some things. Another time it's letting go of some things. And so we're going to look at those two verses tonight and see what God would have us not to let go of tonight as we go into 2016. But then before it even comes, some things maybe we need to let go. Amen. Let it go. Let it go and get rid of it. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Lord, help with these two verses that we look at, these two passages in Job and in Samuel. Lord, help it to be a blessing and an encouragement to us. And Lord, help us as we leave 2015, Lord, maybe some things we need to let go before we even get into 2016. Just let it go. Then, Lord, maybe there's some other things that we need not to let go of. We need to maintain and hold on to those things as we go into 2016. Help us to look at the Word of God and gain a blessing from the Scriptures, some encouragement here tonight. Lord, again, have your hands upon those that could not be here tonight. Lord, help those that are struggling with illnesses. But Lord, most of all, open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to the Word of God tonight. We might hear exactly what it is that we need to hear in your Word. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Tonight I want to focus on the two verses that they may hopefully give us some encouragement. The first one is going to be found in Job chapter number 27. So make your way over there. And as you're making your way over there, you know, this time of the year is a special time. Now, I don't know about you, but I always look forward to marathons during New Year's. Normally they have a Looney Tunes marathon where I can watch all the Looney Tunes I want. They'll have a Tom and Jerry marathon. I can watch all the Tom and Jerry I want. They normally have a Three Stooges marathon. I can watch all the Three Stooges I want. Amen. And that's one of the rare times that I get a chance to do that. And so I look forward to that time. Also, I get that chance to look forward to that because on New Year's Day, normally there's football on. And I sit down and I get my little fat chips and I eat my fatty chips. And I can watch some football. Amen. And just like doing that. But then the one thing I like about it is that it's a brand new year. I normally have different Bible reading plans that I start on the first of the year. And I read through the Bible in different ways. I have different commentaries that I use and different things like that. Last year, it was the Psalm study. This year, I'm studying the Proverbs. And I am so looking forward to studying the Proverbs. And one of these years, we're going to have a year of Proverbs as well, like we had Psalm for the Soul last year. But I got to study it first this year. Amen. Then I'll let y'all know how good it was. But I always look forward to these special times of the year. Amen. And we start into a brand new year. There's some things I'm sure that you look forward to as well. Maybe it's the food. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's just some downtime. You don't have to work. You can sleep in, whatever it is. Amen. My family just left. I'm sad that they left. And I wish they were here for the New Year's, but they were here for Christmas, and I praise God for that. So we're going to look at some things, because I know I always look forward to this time of the year. Chapter 27 in the book of Job. If you're there, I want us to notice some things here. By the way, how many are familiar with the book of Job? Raise your hand. You're familiar with the book of Job? Amen? All right. How many are not familiar with the book of Job? Not familiar with it at all. Okay, just a couple. Amen. All right. Well, let me give you a synopsis on the book of Job. Amen. Job comes right before the Psalms, and Job's life is a test case, if you would. Satan goes before God, and basically what Satan says is that, you know what, the only reason that Job is serving you is because you bless him. And I tell you, you take away his blessings, and he won't serve you. And God says, okay, go ahead and try it. Satan wipes out everything that Job has dear to him. And guess what? Job still praises God. He said, naked I came in and naked I'm going out. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Satan comes back to God again. He says, you know what? The only reason is you let me touch his body. You let me get up in his personal space. Mano y mano. Get close up on. Let me put my hands on him a little bit. Let me rough him up some. And I bet he'll curse you to your face. And God said, okay, you can do it, but you can't kill him. Now, can you imagine if God let Satan do that to you? He said, okay, but just don't kill him. Man, Lord, please don't do that to me. I'm not Job. Say, preacher, would you curse God to his face? I hope not. But I can't say it because I ain't been tested in that area yet. And so basically Satan goes and Job is just sick as a dog. I mean, he's sick. Everything is gone from him. He's sick as a dog. And he gets some, his wife comes here and says, you just might as well curse God and die. Get it over with. He doesn't do it. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women do. Then he has three friends that come to console him. And instead of consoling him, they begin to counsel him. And in their counsel, they condemn him. And so the consolers have turned counselors and the counselors have turned to condemners. And now Job is left by himself. And the rest of the book, after chapter number one and chapter number two, is his friends telling him how wicked he must be. And he must have some secret sins that he's holding out on. Otherwise, God wouldn't treat him the way he is. And that's what he's dealing with. We come over to chapter number 27. His friends are still talking to him, and he's defending himself a little bit. And in chapter number 27, again, Satan is asked to test Job to see if he would curse God. Job has no knowledge of this testing. Still, he's maintaining his integrity. He's lost his wealth by this point. He's lost his health by this point. His family, his friends have left him. His wife tells him to curse God and die. Consolers have turned to counselors, and now they're condemners. And still, Job is maintaining his innocence. And notice what the Bible says here in chapter 27 and verse number 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. In other words, Job says, I'm sticking with my case. I did nothing wrong. I'm innocent. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm innocent. I'm going to hold to that story. I'm not going to confess something that I didn't do. Notice verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast. Notice this. And I will not let it go. There's the phrase, let it go. He says, I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He says, you know what? My righteousness, I'm going to hold fast. I'm going to maintain my position that my relationship with God is right. I'm not going to retract that. I will not let it go. Let me read to you a devotional, part of a devotional I read just a couple days ago, dealing with trials that we go through. It says, we tend to wish for an easy life with no trials or testing. How many of y'all like that? I don't want any testings. I don't want any trials. I know that's I would raise my hand. It says, but it takes difficult times to strengthen our faith. It is through the trials of life that God perfects us and grows us so we can serve him better. Wow. By the way, did you know the only way that an athlete gets better is if he pushes himself to get more endurance? That's why they're better. That's why they're faster. That's why they're stronger. He goes on to say, and listen to me, Christian, listen to this statement. Not every trial God brings into your life is punishment. We said, you know, as soon as something goes wrong, we want to say, oh, what did I do? Maybe you didn't do anything. I call my kids sometimes, they come in with that look, what did I do? Well, you didn't do anything. But sometimes when God sends a trial in our life, the first thing we think, I must have done something wrong. Not necessarily. If you look at Job's life, Job did everything right. He had his life right, and he even prayed for his sons and his daughters. So just because I have a trial doesn't mean that it's punishment. He goes on to say, not every tough time or time of difficulty is meant as a way to chasten you. In fact, most times God uses trials to grow you or make you a better Christian. Wow. So when I have a tough time, it's to make me better? Yes, sometimes it's just to give us patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? We don't get it automatically. It's got to be worked in through the Spirit and then worked out by trials. Amen. Now, the Spirit has it, but we don't know how to manifest it or hold on to it or to put it into practice. So God said, let me give you a trial to help you with that. And when you lose your temper, guess what you just did? You failed the test. Guess what? You got to take the test again. And if you fail again, guess what? You got to take the test again. They don't mess up and move up with God. Just like they don't mess up and move up in school. He goes on to say, he has a plan for your life, and that plan often requires a time of refining first. The same God that brought the trial into your life is able to sustain you through it. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Turn to God and trust him during those times. I thought that was timely because, you know, if anybody is going to go through some trials in 2016, guess what? It's going to be us. It's not going to be easy. You say, preacher, 2015 was hard enough. Amen. And it was. But who's to say 2016 is not going to be any tougher? Remember, when in Job chapter 1, whilst one messenger was speaking, another one was at the door coming in right behind him. And after him was another. And after him was another. And after him, it was another. And then he got a break. And then chapter 2, and Satan touched him, and he got sick, and he got boils. And then he had his three friends that came to console him. They looked at him, and they tried to counsel him. But before long, they condemned him, and the rest of the chapters deal with that. It's not until you get up to chapter 38, 39, when God steps in and starts telling Job some things. And then chapter 40, when he actually gets it all turned around. So it may get worse before it gets better. Now, I'm not saying that 2016 is going to be worse, but it might. Say, preacher, that's not encouraging. It should be because God's in charge. God's in charge. Look at the end of Job. If you look to the end, it'd be all right. Amen. I'm glad we're at the end of 2015, not the beginning. Amen. All right. Let's go on with this. In 2016, God may allow some testing in our lives like he did in Job's life. It's almost guaranteed in order to get us to where he wants us to be. But when he does, do like Job and maintain your righteous stand in God and don't let it go. Whether our Savior tests us or Satan tempts us, don't let your righteousness go. There's certain things that you do right now that you ought not stop doing. Amen. Reading your Bible, praying, don't let those things go. Coming to the house of God, don't let that go. Soul winning. Don't let that go. Tithing, don't let that go. Those things that God has already put in your heart, your righteousness, he said, I am not going to let that go. What I'm doing that's right by God, I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give up. Hey, Christian, let me tell you something. Satan's going to come knocking at your door this year, and his whole goal is to get you to back out of this thing called Christianity, get the back out of the thing called faithfulness, to get to stopping what you're doing. His whole goal is to get you to stop, because when you do, you make God look bad, and you make Christians look bad too. Amen. It's not just about you. It's about more than you. This is bigger than you. But God knows that he has the power to sustain you. And so Job said, you know what? My righteousness, I will not let go. Notice what he says in verse 6 again. My righteousness, I hold fast and I will not let it go. I'm going to maintain these things. Like Job, if you lose your wealth, hold your righteous stand. Don't let it go. Like Job, if you lose your health, hold your righteous stand. Don't let it go. You know, people like Brother Duffy, just I admire that courage. Amen. Coming into the year, he didn't know that he was going to have a walker. People like Carlene, she didn't know that she was going to have to be on a walker and have one of her lungs damaged. She didn't know that. Brother Shirk did not know he was going to have the cancer that he had. Amen. But I admire them. You know what they said? My righteousness, I will not let it go. I'm going to continue going on. Hey, folks, if the same things happened to you that happened to Brother Duffy, Brother Shirk, Sister Carlene, where would you be and what would you do? Some people would quit. Well, God, you're not fair. I'm going home. Why you do this to me? No. My righteousness, I will not let it go. Job said, I don't care what happened to me. Yes, I don't have my health. Yes, I don't have my wealth. I don't have my family. I don't have my friends. Yes, everybody's turning against me. But you know what? I've got God. That's all I need. I'm not going to let it go. Hey, I would love to sit here and tell you that 2016 is going to be a peachy, rosy road. And it's going to be frilly. And you're going to be happy. And you're going to say, oh, I love this. You wouldn't grow. You'd be a couch chair Christian. You'd be a cream puff Christian. You would be no good for nothing. Amen. Like Job, if you lose your health, if you lose your wealth, if you lose your family, if you lose your friends, if you lose your spouse, hold your righteous stand. Don't let it go. There's some ladies that come here and their husbands don't come. You know what? I admire that. Because they come even though their husbands don't come. And that is difficult. I know when I was down with my back surgeries, and my wife had to go to church by herself, she told me, she said, that was the most difficult thing I could do is go to church without you. Sister Hamlin, you've been there. Rodney wasn't always in church. Amen. It was a hard time. Amen. But guess what? She stuck it out. And guess what? Now her husband's in the house of God. Amen. Tamara, you went through that for a while. Brother Hall wasn't always in church. Amen. And guess what? Now he is. Guess what? She held the righteous stand, and she said, I'm not going to let it go. And God blessed. Amen. People like Sister LaPar. So you got it made. Brother Serge's always been in church with you. Amen. You don't know what it's like not to have him in church. Amen. Carmen, you got it made. I've always been in church. You got it made. Sister White, you got it made. Kenny's always been in church. Some of these ladies haven't always had their husbands in church. And that's hard. That's hard. That's difficult. I couldn't imagine being in that situation where the leader of my home doesn't come to church. But guess what? Some of these ladies said, you know what? My righteousness I hold fast and I will not let it go. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back down. I'm still going to make it go. I'm going on forward in 2015 and 2016. There's some things that we cannot afford to let go. And our righteous stand is one of them. Hold on in 2016. Don't let it go. If you lose your job, hold your righteous stand. Don't let it go. Amen. Guess what? God can give you another job. Amen. Hold on in 2016. Don't let it go. Hold on against false accusers. Hold on against failing brethren. Because some people are going to let you down. Some people are going to false accuse you. Hold on against faulty bosses. All bosses aren't going to be the right type of bosses. Or hold on against financial losses. Any of these things can happen to you in 2016. But you got to say, my righteousness, I hold fast. And I will not let it go. There's certain things I'm just going to keep doing by God. I'm not going to back down. I'll tell you something. If you don't say it now, guess what? You get in 2016, you'll quit. You'll quit. You'll quit. You better make up your mind before you get there. And say, you know what? If the things that happened to Job happened to me, I'm not going to quit. What if the same things happened to me that happened to Brother Duffy? I'm not going to quit. What are the things that happened to Carlene happen to me? I'm not going to quit. What are the things that happened to Brother Shirk happen to me? I'm not going to quit. What if my husband don't want to come to church anymore? I'm not going to quit. What if my wife don't want to come? I'm not going to quit. What if my children don't want to come? I'm not going to quit. What if my friends don't want to come? I'm not going to quit. My righteousness I hold fast and I will not let it go, Job said. I don't care what happens, I'm not going to let it go. No matter what happens in 2016, remain faithful. Notice this. Another devotion I read ahead to 31st that said this, consider December 31st of the next year, 2016. If the Lord tarries his coming, will you be able to look back over the year and say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. Determined now to be faithful to the Lord throughout this next year before the new year even dawns. So what you and I have to say is, God, before 2016 even comes, I want to be more faithful than I was in 2015. Now, we don't want to just be faithful. We want to be more faithful. Say, preacher, but I was here at every service. But maybe your mind wasn't. Maybe your heart wasn't in it. Because we can come in with our hearts not right with God. And guess what? Might as well be a million miles away. So what I need to say is, Lord, I want to be even more faithful than I was in 2015. Sometimes when I came, my heart wasn't in it. Sometimes my mind wasn't in it. Sometimes I wasn't in it. Sometimes I went through the motions. Sometimes I was just a robot. I wasn't here, but my body was. You know what that calls for? Dedication. I got to say, Lord, speak to my heart. I don't want to be a Martha. I want to be a Mary when I come to the house of God. Yes, there are things that need to be done, but guess what? I want to get challenged by the word of God, and I want to be faithful to God Almighty when I get here. Two things here. Will we have final and finishing faith at 2016's end, or will we look back and have fickle and fainting faith at 2016? Always up and down. Decide now. Decide now. What did Job say? My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. The second time this phrase is found is in 1 Samuel chapter number 5. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 5. Job said, you know what? My righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. But there are some times, there's some things that we need to let go. Some things we just need to let it go. By the way, as Christians, we should strive to be faithful for Christ until the end of our lives. As we end this Christmas season, look forward to next year. Remember that God wants us to be faithful to him until the end. As people are making resolutions for the new year, commit to remain faithful to God. Ask him for strength to stay faithful to him throughout the new year and until his return. No matter what happens, don't quit. Be faithful. Our righteous stand hold and not let it go. 1 Samuel chapter 5, we're going to pick it up here. The Philistines have captured the ark from Israel, the ark of God that contained the Ten Commandments in it. The Philistines have captured it. They're bringing it home, and it goes from place to place, including their house where their god Dagon was located. And just to give you the wrap-up of this, we're going to read through this in a minute. There are some things that we need to let go. Every place this ark goes, bad things happen. Notice what it says here in verse number 1, chapter 5. Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place. So in other words, imagine this is Dagon here. They brought the ark in. And when they put the ark in there, next day they came, Dagon was face down. I think he's bound to Almighty God, amen. They set Dagon back up again. And notice what it says down there. Verse 4, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of the hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. So next time they come, he's down, but this time he got no head, he got no arms. He's just down like that. With no arms, no head. I think God says, you know, you're impotent before me, so you might as well just give it up. That's their God. Notice what it says down in verse 5. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. I don't blame him. I don't think I would go in there either. Why? It may be me next time. Notice verse 6, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them, and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us, and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. So in other words, they say, you know what? We had enough of that in Ashdod. Send him over to Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. Verse 9. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had emerods in their secret parts. Now, that's not good. That's having some serious illnesses in some secret parts of your body. Amen. Verse number 10. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. So from Ashdod to Gath, now to Gad to Ekron. They sent it to Ekron, and it came to pass that the ark of God came to Ekron. The Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our peoples. In other words, these people said, oh, no, no. And first Dagon and Ashdod, and now Gath, and y'all going to bring that over here? We can't have that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody got lice, and you don't want their kids around your kids. Amen. Or they got some kind of communicable disease. You'd be like, oh, no. You, no. Stay, man. You got pink eyes? Stay. You got lice? Oh, stay. Ringworm? Stay. Whatever you get, stay. Those were what it said down there, verse 11. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and here's our phrase, and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Notice that in the middle of verse 11, he says, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go. These men here, these unsaved heathen, had sense enough to let it go. Knowing that it was hurting them and killing them and giving them emerods in their secret parts, they had sense enough to let it go. And notice verse 11 again. Let it go. These unsaved people had enough sense to know what? You know what? This is hurting us. You know what? We need to let this go. May I submit to you that sometimes God's people are not smart enough to let some things go that are hurting them. Some things are hurting God's people, and they don't have the sense enough to know that spiritually it's hurting me and physically it's hurting me, and I need to let it go. These unsaved heathen saw the destruction that this caused in their lives, and they said, we need to let that thing go. It is not helping us at all. And some of God's people need to take a lesson out of that page and say, you know what? I'm not an unsaved heathen. I'm God's child, and there's some things in my life I need to let go before I even get to 2016. I need to let it go. I'm doing some things that are hurting me physically. They're hurting me spiritually. They're hurting me emotionally. They're hurting me relationally. They're hurting me socially. They're hurting me educationally. They're hurting me occupationally. I need to let it go. And some of God's people need to wise up and get smart. These unsaved people here knew better than God's people sometimes. Say, preacher, what are some of those things? Maybe for you, it's a bad relationship. You need to let it go. Maybe it's a bad conversation that you heard and you need to let it go. You can't change it anyway. Maybe there's a bad injustice done at your job. You need to let it go. Maybe it was a bad hurt that someone did you. Hey, mulling over is not going to make it any better. Amen. You need to let it go. Let it go. If you're not going to have guts enough to go talk to the person about it, let it go. Let it go. Amen. Bad situations, maybe it happened to you in 2015. Let it go. Don't take it to 2016. Bad attitudes. Let it go. Amen. Children are prone for bad attitudes. You know what children need to do? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Why? It's destructive. It's going to hurt me. It's not going to help anybody at all. It's infectious. It'll hurt other people. Let the bad attitude go. Don't even bring it into 2016. Let it go. What else is there? Maybe it's the bad thoughts that you had. Let it go. Some bad memories. Let it go. Bad places that you used to go. Let it go. Bad habits. Let it go. Bad influences. Let them go. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10. Some things you can't change anyway, so just let it go. Let it go. Now think about it. What is something that you know is not helping you, but it's hindering you, that you need to let go? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. These unsaved heathen knew there's certain things we need to let this go. Need to let it go. Maybe for you it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a weight. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a presumptuous sin like David with Bathsheba. He knew that he should let that sin go with Bathsheba, but guess what? He didn't let it go. He held on to it and got him in trouble. Maybe it's a premeditated sin. Remember Aaron made the calf for Israel? He knew that he shouldn't have did it, but he let some people talk him into it and walked him into it, and he did it premeditated, knowing that it was wrong. Sometimes some things you know are wrong. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Maybe for you it's procrastination. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's deceit. Maybe it's filthy language. Maybe it's disrespect for authority. Maybe it's dishonesty. Maybe it's destruction. And on we could go. These things can bring you down. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. It's not gonna help you, but it's going to hurt you. This ark went from Ashdod to Gath to Ekron, and everywhere it went, it brought destruction. Their God's head was cut off. Their arms were cut off. It was down, thrown down. They had the emeralds in their secret parts, and they were wise enough to know this is hurting us. We need to let it go. Do a personal inventory. What in your life is hurting you? It's hurt you in 2015. It's hurt you repeatedly in 2015, and you have not let it go yet. Let it go. Let it go. Don't take it with you. Don't take it with you. Bottom line, there are some things that are hurting our spiritual life. If it's not hurting our spiritual life, it may be hurting our physical life. And you need to let it go. Don't take it in 2016. Let it go. Go in the freedom of 2016. My question to you tonight is, what is God telling you to let go? If he's telling you to let it go, guess what? Let it go. But then what is God telling you? Don't let go. If he's telling you, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Be like Job. Say, my righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. People are going to try to talk you out of many things this year, 2016. Your Bible, your church, your relationship maybe, your job, your friends, your children. They're going to try and talk you out of a lot of things. Your money maybe, a position. If you know by God that you're right, you say like Job, my righteousness I hold fast and I will not let it go. There's a lot of things people may be able to talk me out of, but there's a whole lot of things they will never be able to talk me out of. You know why? I made up my mind a long time ago. A long time ago, I made up my mind. Hebrews 10:25 says what it says and it means what it means. I'm going to be in the house of God. A long time ago, I made that up. A long time ago, I read Malachi. Will a man rob God, but you rob me in tithes and offerings? I said, you know what? I'm not going to rob God. A long time ago, I made a mind. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to read my Bible every day. A long time ago, I made my mind up, and I said, I'm going to hold it. I'm not going to let it go. I don't care who is around me. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to let it go. A long time ago, I made up my mind. You know what? Nobody can talk me out of it. Now, I may be reading it at midnight hours. I may be meeting it early in the morning, but I ain't going to let it go. Why? My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. There's some things that God wants you to hold in 2016. Maybe there's some things you need to start in 2016 and hold. But then maybe there's some things in 2015 that God's been telling you you need to let it go, and you have not let it go yet. It's going to bring you down. It's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you in the end. Secrecy, deceit, guile, bitterness, unforgiveness, those things will destroy you. Anger, they'll ruin you. Wrath, those things will eat you alive from the inside out. It says you better watch out for bitterness. It says thereby many be defiled. They'll eat you alive. You know what? Like Job, some things that you need to say, I will not let it go. But then some other things you need to say, you know what? I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go. Think about it. What are some things that you don't need to let go? And what are some things that you need to let go? I'll tell you this, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to get saved. You need to be born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so you must be born again. And so, my friend, if you're not saved, the first thing is to get saved. The second thing you need to do is get baptized. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. As soon as you get saved, you know what you need to do? Get baptized. And you know what every Christian ought to be doing? Tithing. We're about to have a budget meeting right now. Your eyes are going to pop out at what the budget is going to look like next year. You know why? People aren't tithing. People aren't tithing. Every Christian that's saved by God's grace should be tithing. You may not believe it, but it's true nonetheless. Every Christian that's saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ should be tithing. It should be. And that's the righteousness that I hold, and I will not let it go. I will not. But you've got to ask God, as I go into 2016, Lord, what don't I need to let go? But Lord, as I go into 2016, what do I need to let go? What is that? What is destroying me? What is hurting me? What is hindering me? What's my weight? What's my sin? What's causing me to slow down in the race? What's slowing me up and what's hindering me? Is it a thought process? Is it what I'm doing over here? And Lord, is it my bitterness? What is it? Is it presumptuous sin? Is it premeditated sin, Lord? Maybe it's not sin at all. Maybe it's just something that really is not helping me at all. It's just slowing me down. And it's taking up time that I could put to use somewhere else. I don't know what it is. I know God's got me with some, I got a big list of stuff I got to let go and some stuff that I'm not going to ever let go. But you know what? As we go into 2016, each one of us should already be looking towards the end of 2016 if the Lord tarries and say, where do I want to be at the end of 2016? Where do I want to be? I want to have some souls won. I want to have some people that got baptized because of me. I want to have some people that I got discipled. I want to have my increase given in my missions and my tithe, my offerings. I want to have some increase there. I want to see some people that are at that church because of me. I want to see people of my coworkers that get saved. This should be some goal that you and I have set for 2016. Say, you know what, at the end of 2016, this is what I want to see. And to see it, I cannot let certain things go. But to see it, I've got to let go of some other things. I've got to let go of some things to see it. And so now start planning your goal. Well, you got one more day left. Tomorrow's the 31st. And then we start a brand new year. It's called 2016. We've never lived it before. We've never been in it before. We've never seen it before. We don't know what's going to happen in it. It's full of new and exciting things. Now, what are we going to do with it? God's given us another year. Many people didn't make it this far, but we did. Now, what are we going to do that God's blessed us and giving us a new year? By the way, I'm not going to be presumptuous. Some of us right here may not make it tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Did y'all know that? You might not make it to tomorrow. And so it's wise to make plans with God now and say, God, I want to be saved. I want to get that thing settled because I may not make it tomorrow. Brother Kirk, they call you Kirshner. Shirk. Brother Shirk got a coworker, just took his life. I'm sure nobody thought he was going to take his life. You know, people killed in the tornado. We don't know these things. Andrea's got two deaths right after another. Nobody knows. But you know what? If the Lord tarries, we should have some goals in our minds, some goals in our hearts. As we pray, you think, Lord, what is it that I don't need to let go? But Lord, what is it that I need to let go as these years change? Father, bless now these next moments. Lord, as we contemplate our own mind, our own hearts, what we should not let go. Job said, my righteousness I hold fast and I will not let it go. No matter what the accusations were against him, the failing brethren, the false accusers. Lord, we're going to have faulty bosses. We're going to have financial losses this year. Our health may go. Our wealth may go. Our family and our friends may go. Spouses may go. Special people in our lives may go. But Lord, at the end of the day, we know that you'll never go. And Lord, help us to hold fast our righteousness, not to let it go. Keep doing what's right because it's right to do. Lord, you may test us, Satan may tempt us, but help us not to let it go. Lord, then those things that we know that are weights, that are sins, Lord, no matter how small we are, no matter how big we are, help us to let them go. Let those things go. And make sure that we understand that there are certain things that are hurtful physically to us, other things that are spiritually hurtful to us, just like the ark was to the Ekronites and the Gathites and the Ashdodites. They had sense enough to let it go. Help us to have the wisdom of God to let things go that are hurting us in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.